are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Thank you for tuning in to Sports Radio with Matt Peters. I am your host, Matthew A. Peters. Other ways to listen are on the website at WJRH.org, where all the past episodes are saved. And feel free to also call in at 610-330-5316. So this was a big week. Finally, the inevitable happened, and Bryce Harper was signed by the local team, the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, it might seem like a lot of money on the surface, and it is a lot of money. He got a 13-year, $330 million deal, which is the highest contract ever given to an American sports player. Well, not even American, just the world, I think. I don't think in soccer they go up to that much for their careers at once. And so this pretty much makes Bryce Harper a Philly for the rest of his career until he's age 39. So this was monumental. This is a franchise-altering move, a career-defining move. There is no, there is a trade clause for Bryce Harper, so he can veto any trade. And also, there is no opt-outs, so he is guaranteed the $13 million for the year, doesn't want to be a free agent ever again, which was highly, highly surprising compared to other things we've seen in the market. Manny Machado got his opt-outs, Nolan Arenado got his opt-outs. But Bryce just wants to finish off his career with the Phillies, and it is a great signing for them. It might seem a little odd to call $330 million at 13 years a great signing, but I think it is exactly what the franchise needed at this time. They were highly, highly in need of a face. Bryce Harper is a face of baseball, not because of the production, but because of personality and marketing. The man has an image. People know who he is. He has a platform, a lot of social media followers. He is a very hard grinding player that you can really get behind because he doesn't take plays off. He is one of those stars that every play he's on. He's not a Cano, he's not a Machado, and Philly, they didn't have a lot of buzz around Machado. You know, there wasn't a lot of people being like, we need Machado. But then you went on the Phillies social media every week, and every single comment was sign Harper. When's Harper coming? We need Harper. You know? And finally, the fans got what they wanted. And you know what? They are responding accordingly. Their ticket sales have increased dramatically for the Phillies for this upcoming season. And Bryce Harper's jersey has become the number one fastest-selling jersey in any sport in the first 48 hours, and 24 hours for that matter. Now, it might seem obvious since he signed for that much money that he'll just stay with the team for that long. But I think it's a good investment. I think it's good for them. I think it's good for him. And so Philadelphia fans now come out. They're going to be in the ballparks. The team's looking a lot better. You got him, Andrew McCutchen, David Robertson, JT Realmuto. This is a improved team dramatically. Dramatically. All they need is another starting pitcher. And so I will get to that shortly. I don't want to step on any feet. They just signed Bryce Harper. They should be ecstatic. Their payroll is still not at that all-time high that was 2011 when they were selling out four straight seasons of Citizens Bank Park. But they are looking good. They are making the right steps. This is a team that will compete for the division. Not a wild card anymore. This is a division-winning competition. Now, of course, we all know the rest of the division has gotten better. We all know this. The Atlanta Braves have gotten slightly better with Josh Donaldson, but they had a young team. They should all take steps forward, be a lot better, and they won the division last year. So the Braves, you got to contend with. The Nationals, their team can be either amazing or bad. It's really one or the other because you got Victor Robles in center field and Juan Soto in left. Their offense, you know, Ryan Zimmerman's at first base. You don't know what you're going to expect from him. You got Brian Dozier at second base. Is he going to be Brian Dozier from 2 years ago or 1 year ago? That's a huge difference, okay? But this team, the Nationals, is all about that three-headed monster of Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin. Now, can you rely on Steven Strasburg 30 games? No, you can't. Max Scherzer, you can rely on for 35 games. Okay, maybe not 35, but he's going to pitch 220 innings. Okay? Max Scherzer has made himself a Hall of Fame candidate with his tenure in the Nationals. He needs a couple great more seasons. I think he's got two more great seasons in him, and then he'll become a Verlander type, knowing how to pitch. He's on the fast track because ever since the past 10 years, he's been top five pitcher, and he's won Cy Youngs. He's a grinder, pitches well in clutch situations. He is a Hall of Fame candidate. I'm not saying he's Hall of Fame, but a candidate. He is now in the discussion. Strasburg is the frustrating case because we've heard everything about him since he got drafted. Was supposed to be the next Roger Clemens. We all know he got Tommy John, came back, not the same elite arm, still very elite. And so that's where we're at with him. Patrick Corbin was a vast overpay in this free agent market, in my humble opinion. The fact that Dallas Keuchel is still on the market with how many weeks? 3 weeks to opening day is a bit troublesome because the gap between Keuchel and Corbin is big. Don't get me wrong. It is large. But if you can sign Keuchel to a short-term deal, it's not that large because Corbin got, 7 years? If you can get Keuchel on a 2-year deal, you know, I think that's equal because Keuchel will give you 200 innings. He has been in postseason situations, won a championship. He's a real pitcher. And yes, his stuff is declining. There's a reason why the Astros, the most analytical team in baseball, doesn't want him back. And it's because they see something. He's not the same pitcher that won 20 games. He's not the same guy who had a sub-3 ERA. But Dallas Keuchel still is good. And that brings me to the point with the Yankees and their injury to Luis Severino. They need depth. They need another starting pitcher because when the going gets tough in June and July, are you really going to rely on Jonathan Loaisiga to pitch 100 innings? Get the ball every fifth day? No. You can't count on CC Sabathia to not get on the DL at least twice, okay? So you got Loaisiga as insurance for Sabathia. That's how I see him, because Domingo Herman is not ready, okay? Luis Sessa is a AAA pitcher. Get him off the team. So what you're looking at now is your sixth starter being your fifth and a half starter, because Sabathia, as much as I love the guy, is not going to make it through a whole season. And you can't rely on him giving you deep innings. So you need Jonathan Loaisiga as his insurance, and he'll take the ball next year. Of course, you got Montgomery coming back midseason. But as far as I remember with Montgomery, he was a good number 3, number 4. He's not an ace. Severino is only going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to miss the first couple weeks of the season. Okay? Not a huge deal, but what if it's a huge deal? What if his shoulder does not become less inflamed? What if it gets worse? It doesn't get better? This is the things you think about when you're trying to win a world championship and your ace just got hurt. Okay? So what do you do? Now, there have been talks that the Yankees have discussed Gio Gonzalez within, but of course, they haven't yet contacted Scott Boras asking about price, which is ridiculous. How do you not contact the agent just inquiring? It's not anything but an inquiry. Gio Gonzalez would be a nice pickup, but not the great pickup, because he would give up a lot of home runs in Yankee Stadium. I could see him having a good Sonny Gray effect type. And we all know Sonny Gray badmouthed the Yankees this past week because they made him throw his crappy slider all the time, even though he was not comfortable with it, and they just forced him to do it. And honestly, I could see the Yankees doing this because they are quite stubborn with their analytics. You could see that from the postseason last year with Aaron Boone going straight by the book. That is not what a manager does. And of course, that's probably not what the pitching does either. So Sonny Gray has a point. The Yankees need to do a better job of combining the eye test with the analytics, because these guys are not robots. They are human beings, and they do not perform the same each and every day. Now, back to the NL East. You got the New York Mets, who got a lot better. That's for dang sure. But they are flawed. Specifically, Jason Vargas as a fifth starter. Jason Vargas is crap. I don't think there's a lot of debate with that. He had a fluke great season with the Royals 2 years ago. Got a two-year deal by the Mets. Was not good. I would love if the Mets signed a Gio Gonzalez, because in that spacious ballpark in the National League, Gio will be good. Not necessarily with the Yankees. Just the Yankees should go more for a Dallas Keuchel. 1 year, 20 mil. Maybe a team option for second year or something like that. A mutual option, which never actually happens. But like a Moustakas-type contract. I can see Keuchel getting Moustakas money, because they are both very similar type in sense that they were champions. A lot of good past success, but you don't really know what you're going to get in the future. So are you telling me he's going to turn down a 1 year, 20 mil deal at this point in the offseason? I think not. Craig Kimbrell's still on the market. I don't know where the heck he is going. His asking price might be through the roof. The Braves could use him for sure. The Nationals could use him, but they're in the luxury tax. So it's tough. It's tough with those two guys. Keuchel, though, Yankee. Or maybe he goes back to the Astros on 1 year deal. I don't think so. I think they would have pulled the gun already. And then, of course, National League East. The Miami Marlins are trash. Trash. Neil Walker's not going to make you a championship team. Okay? I know he's coming from the Yankees. He wasn't the heart and soul of that team. No. So now, the Phillies. Phillies can compete, but it's a tough division. Very, very, very tough. And so if I was them, I would go after a Keuchel or, of course, a Kimbrel. But we all know that, well, that's not just how teams operate. Look at the Padres. They signed Manny Machado to a 10-year, 300 mil deal, and they just sat on their butts waiting for the season to start, cashing on the ticket sales, which, sure, don't rush anything. But, like, when you make one huge move for this upcoming season, I am one who thinks you should go all in, because that is how you win championships. The Red Sox last year went all in. Yankees in 2009 went all in. I mean, you don't just build the team and then wait. No. You try to win for this year, because championships last forever. Okay? When you look in the record books, you see the championship winner of a year. And that's all you really care about that year. Yes, MVPs, Cy Young, sure, but who cares if you won 100 games? Who cares if you won more games than last season? No one cares about that. No one cares if you went from 80 wins to 85. That's not a success. Winning 100 games is not a success. The 2001 Seattle Mariners, who won the most regular season games of all time, are not considered the greatest team of all time, because they didn't win the championship. They sat on their behinds with a young, talented team, and guess what happened? They lost to the New York Yankees in the playoffs, because the Yankees don't settle. They make the increment moves, because it's just a 25-man roster. You improve one guy, everyone improves. Everyone goes up the depth chart. It's huge, okay? So when you sign a guy like Dallas Keuchel, you're making a statement, not just to your team, but the rest of the league, that you are making everyone else a little bit better. Let's hope someone pulls the trigger on this guy, because he deserves a 1 year or a 2 year deal. And if he's asking for more than that, still sitting, I'm sure he's still waiting on a 3 year deal. But look, that ship has sailed long ago, because his numbers have declined. I mean, he's just not an ace anymore, but he is still a top of the rotation guy. He can be a two or three. And that's what the Yankees need. That's what the Phillies could use. They could use a number three behind Arrieta and Nola. So, yeah, that's my statement to the Phillies. Amazing job with that contract. Bryce Harper will sell tickets. Number three, iconic. I love it. He's not taking Roy Halladay's number. Great job. All right, pat yourselves on the back, Matt Klentak, because you did a good job. And I love it. But if 2019 is the year, you should do something else. Sign that man from Dallas, Dallas Keuchel. Now we will turn our attention a little bit for the moment to the NBA, which is as dramas filled as always. They might have the best reporters in the business or just the best script writers. I don't know which one, but it seems like every week There's a development in terms of LeBron James madness or Kyrie Irving madness. And so I just wanted to touch on the fact that the Lakers season is done. Not officially, of course, but it is over. The Lakers are not making the playoffs. Who would have saw that coming? LeBron James, man who's gone to the East Championship, went to the NBA Finals for the past, what, 8 years, 7 years? Crazy. On three different franchises. Guess what? He's not going to the playoffs. No eighth seed for him, no seventh seed. It's done. They've lost to some crappy teams. They don't look good. He looks tired. He looks a little hurt. I don't know if he's healed from that injury he had midseason, but my God, he got himself in a pickle with this club because they are just not good. That's the bottom line. Brandon Ingram's not good. Kyle Kuzma's fine. Lonzo Ball's hurt. JaVale McGee is JaVale McGee. Like, Rondo, what? This team's trash. And so they sit in the 11th seed in the Western Conference at 30-34. The Timberwolves are 30-34. The Kings are 32-31. And then the 8th seed, 36-29, is the San Antonio Spurs. So, statistically, yes. The Lakers are, what, 6 games behind. I mean, it's late in the year. They're not coming back. It's over. It's over, ladies and gentlemen, as my man Kenny the Smith says. So in the Western Conference right now, you got the Warriors first, the Nuggets second. My God, Nikola Jokic, who is a beast, has made that team the second best team in the Western Conference. That is insane. Absolutely insane. Number three, the Rockets. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to do good in the playoffs, but sure. Fourth, the Thunder. Paul George has been the best player on that team by far. Five, the Trailblazers, because Damian Lillard's just great. Six, the Jazz. Okay. Seven, the Clippers at 37-29. My goodness, they got rid of Tobias Harris, their probably best player at the time. And you know what's happening? Everyone goes up. Danilo Gallinari starts producing more. Ivica Zubac from the Lakers are doing good for them. So that's interesting. And then in the eighth seed, the San Antonio Spurs at 36-29. And you know, if the Spurs get into playoffs, good for them. And then the ninth seed is the Kings at 32-31. I would not put my money on the Kings and the Timberwolves. So, Lakers, man, what a season for them. The highs and the lows. When they signed LeBron, it was a honeymoon stage. Everyone was ecstatic. The Lakers tickets were through the roof. People were having parades in the streets of LA. I was there this summer when they signed him. People were standing out the Staples Center throwing off confetti. It was a celebration. Well, hold your horses a little bit, because now you're not even making the playoffs. You're back to where you started last year. This young team did not take the steps forward. LeBron comes. He's the lone man walking. He's got no Chris Bosh. He's got no D. Wade. He's got no Kevin Love, nor Kyrie. I bet he would pray every night for Kyrie Irving to come on the Lakers. Speaking of Kyrie Irving, my goodness, man, this guy is not happy in Boston. This team is in turmoil, and we will get to the Eastern Conference, where they sit in fifth place in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics, the one team that could travel and rival the Warriors, are in the fifth seed. How? How? Well, I'll tell you how. It's because Kyrie Irving's not a team player. He's not the man, and he is not that amazing. He is all skill, okay? Application? Not really. He's that guy who has the IQ off the charts, but just sits on his couch all day playing video games, okay? There's a bunch of potential in his body, but he's just happy doing other things. He's happy making Uncle Drew movies. He's happy being the guy talking about flat earth. What about winning on the court? Kyrie Irving needs to leave the Celtics this offseason free agency. And my prediction? Well, it is quite saucy for the league. Who is the marquee franchise in basketball. Not because of production, not because of history, not because of much. But it's the New York Knicks. That's just a fact. The Knicks are the franchise because basketball is the mecca of basketball. So, this is what will go down. Kevin Durant will win another ring with the Warriors this year. He will take his talents to Manhattan. He will sign with the New York Knicks because he wants to be the brand in the East. He wants to be the LeBron James of the East. Better than LeBron James. He will take that team, recruit Kyrie Irving. That's right. I said it here first. Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving with the New York Knicks. And guess what? They'll be great. That'll work immensely. You got two big personalities, two guys who just love the spotlight, love everything about it. And they're going to combine. And they're going to win some championship. I'm telling you, Kyrie and Kevin, that's where it's at. Either that or Kyrie needs LeBron James, and we all know that's not happening again. I think he's got too much pride to go back to that. I think in hindsight, he's seen that he acted like a little baby. They could have done a lot more in Cleveland. He demanded that trade. Guess what? That ship sailed. He's going to partner with Kevin. Let's also look at the other teams in the East. The Milwaukee Bucks are number one. Until Giannis Antetokounmpo, love him to death, but he has no three. I don't think you can be that amazing without a three-pointer. I just don't. And then Toronto Raptors are in second place. Okay. Kawhi Leonard. Sure. Great. Do I think they can rival the Warriors? No. I don't think any of these teams can rival the Warriors. None of them. So it's basically who's going to get to the Eastern Conference championship and win. I think the Bucks can, and I think the Raptors can. Pacers are in third at 42-23, which is nuts, but no, they're a pretender. Four is the 76ers. Also, I think pretender, they have no depth. If anyone can sign Carmelo Anthony as a sixth man, 76ers, not going to happen, but I would do that. Fifth is Celtics. Until some switch snaps, I mean, they beat the Warriors yesterday. I'm not going to make a big deal out of one game. But Gordon Hayward did look great, and he's actually the key to that team. It's not Kyrie, not Jason Tatum. It's Gordon Hayward because he was signed as a max-level player to really just be the guy who brings everyone together. And he has not been doing that. He's coming off an injury, not looking great. So Gordon Hayward for that one. Six is the Pistons. Blake Griffin's playing at elite level. We'll see how that goes. And then seven, the Brooklyn Nets. We're just happy to be in the dance at this point. What a turnaround Kenny Atkinson and the GM has made in the past few seasons to get them into the playoffs. And then the eighth seed, the Charlotte Hornets right now, but they're tied with the Heat. So Hornets, Heat, and then you got the Magic a little bit in the run. So that is the East. Yes, it's still worse than the West. That is for sure. All right, we'll take a little short break. Enjoy this tune, and I will be right back.
No easy answers. You've got to work it out yourself. You won't hear anyone but you. The moment you stop looking, wherever you go, you'll be in the right place. You'll never know the difference it makes when you.
That was One of These Days by Vance Joy. That is my study music, if anyone was curious. It's very light, a lot of guitar. I enjoy the crap out of that music, so I thought I'd play it. And we are getting close to the halftime of this show, and you are still listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Sports Radio. I am your host, Matthew Peters. Remember, you can listen also on WJRH.org. And you can call in at 610-330-5316 if you would like to talk about any sports or just your life in general. I really don't mind. And also, I have to read some PSAs, so I will read a couple right now. For the American Red Cross, this year, make a tax-deductible contribution that can change a life. Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross responds to a disaster, providing emergency shelter, hot meals, and financial support to families in need. But we depend on your end-of-year donations to do this critical work. Donate to the American Red Cross before midnight, December 31st of this 2019 season, I guess. So you have a long time, and help us bring hope to a family with nowhere else to turn. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make a donation that will change someone's life. Yes, Red Cross is great. I totally agree with that. And of course, here's another one, right? Experiencing depression, I couldn't get out of better focus. My goals and dreams drifted away. I got my life back through the help of support systems like group therapy, who had been there where I was. They helped me see what life wasn't limited, that I could still achieve my dreams. 50,000 people find compassion and encouragement at their local Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance support group. Visit supporthelps.org or call 800-826-3632 to learn more. Let me repeat that. It's 800-826-3632 to learn more. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, one more. Did you know that 1 in 12 Asian Americans have hepatitis B, but most don't know they are infected? If you or your parents were born in Asia or the Pacific Islands, CDC recommends you get tested for hepatitis B. CDC is Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Talk to your doctor about getting tested. Visit www.cdc.org for more information. All right. That was informative. And we will turn back to sports news. I have not touched on the NFL, but the draft is coming up. And Kyler Murray, the self-proclaimed two-sport athlete. Not self-proclaimed. He's actually pretty great. But he is projected to go number one to the Cardinals, which only means one thing. Josh Rosen's getting traded to the Patriots. No, not necessarily, but he is definitely getting traded. That is for dang sure. Boy, Kyler Murray, though. He's going to be the first overall pick in the NFL. My goodness. That's at least what I'm hearing. The Cardinals love the guy. And that just, I don't know why they drafted Josh Rosen last year in the first round. But, I mean, he has value still. He's a talented player. So, we'll see what happens with him. And, of course, the Jets and Cardinals are reportedly out on Antonio Brown. That is a big news for the Steelers, because the Jets looked like a big get for him. But no, I guess they're still looking after Le'Veon, though, which is total Jets signing. Dude past his prime, big money. Sure, I mean, they got a bunch of cap room. Why not, right? Dwayne Haskins looking pretty good in the NFL draft as well. But Joey Bosa is probably going to go second now, or Nick Bosa, I should say. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's gonna be a good draft. A couple quarterbacks, but yeah, it's looking like Kyler Murray, and then Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams. I mean, it'll be a good draft for sure. And going back to baseball, Salvador Perez, the catcher for the Royals, who is their catcher, of course, for that championship run. Is going to miss, looking like most of the season, if not probably all the season, because he's going to get Tommy John surgery on his throwing arm. So that's sad news. He's such a good catcher. So best to Salvador Perez, who is really the last segment of that championship team, along with Alex Gordon, who is not good anymore. But yeah. I guess that's baseball, you know, Tommy John surgery. And there's also a story out that Bryce Harper, I mean, when he did his introductory press conference, he was saying things like, "If you think I'm not going to talk to Mike Trout about coming to Philadelphia, you're going to be crazy." He talked about a guy coming off his contract in 2 years, who's going to recruit, obviously Mike Trout. And so the Los Angeles Angels have told MLB about this, and they are looking into it with the fact that it's tampering. And so he's probably going to get a tampering fine because he can't really talk about a player under contract with another team, but he's doing that. I mean, he did say that he talked to them in 2020, but he also said he'd ask him about Philadelphia and that they talked every day. So that looks interesting. The fact that Harper and Trout are friends, which is something that people knew, but not to this extent. They talked almost every day this offseason, what Harper said. Asked him for advice on Philadelphia fans, the city, why he loves it so much. And guess what? Mike Trout is a loyal, loyal guy. Now, that could work in favor of the Phillies or against them, because loyal in the sense that they're his childhood team and he loves the city and he's loyal to Philadelphia, or he's loyal to the Angels who gave him his shot and he likes it there and is comfortable there. He's not going anywhere else. Never been a Yankee fan. Yes, money might talk, but at the end of the day, he looks like the kind of guy who either is going to spend his whole career at one team or he's going to go to his hometown. That's what I see with Mike Trout. And I don't think there is a wrong answer in that. I know it's 2 years away, so I don't want to speculate too much. A lot can happen in 2 years in this league. But that will be something. Mike Trout with Bryce Harper, with Andrew McCutchen first season. I mean, that's what every baseball fan wants to see. I'm going to be honest. I don't want him with the Angels. Not only am I on the East Coast, we are all on the East Coast. It's hard to catch into games of the best player. I mean, I see him a handful of times a year when he plays the Yankees because that time difference is just awful. And that's not the Dodgers either. I mean, it's the Angels. They're the second team in the city. They're out of the city. Anaheim's far. I mean, it'll be best. It really will be best if he goes to Philadelphia. And, I mean, that contract is going to be off the charts. 10-year, 40 mil maybe, like something like that. I mean, is he worth it? Yes. But he's a muscular guy. A lot of his game is based on athleticism. A lot of it is based on power. How are those things going to translate in his late 30s? I mean, I think he's the kind of guy who will work extra hard to keep it up. But, I mean, we all know it's past the steroid era. These guys just don't last long anymore. It's not like the old days when you're 37 putting up 30 homers. I mean, who does that? Nelson Cruz is trying to do that, but other parts of this game are deteriorated. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. And the Angels are going to probably be in, I don't know, 500 this year. Not great. Not great at all. So that is the Mike Trout news for this week. I'm sure this will be going on for the next 2 years straight. But, yep. And so the Yankees are looking into maybe staying put until the trade deadline, apparently, for Madison Bumgarner. But that is a long way off. You can't really count on things like that or your prospects looking good. Aaron Judge said that the team wants to break the home run record. And this worries me because they should really take the contact approach, because what killed them last year, strikeouts. Remember loud and clear, vividly, that Boston series. They just struck out all the time. You can't win with a bunch of strikeouts. Just put the ball in play sometimes, you know? I mean, this all-or-nothing approach is not going to win you a championship. It's going to win you a lot of games. Yes, chicks dig the long ball, as they say, but my goodness. I mean, it's something else. Like, enough's enough. You don't have to break the home run record. You want to win games. And I know Aaron Judge is a home run hitter, but, like, my goodness. It's a lot. And so, and the NCAA tournament's coming up, and Duke is looking like a favorite. It's going to be interesting. You can never count out the Villanova, of course. So we'll see how that goes. And Lafayette College, the men's had their Patriot League tournament game yesterday, and they lost by a possession. Unfortunately, it was a exhilarating game. I was there, did a challenge mid-court, but my goodness, I thought we had it for a moment. I thought we were going to come back, but no. No, to no avail. Ugh. Lafayette sports in my 4 years here have not been too kind to me as a fan. I'm sure the players are grinding. No offense to them. School 2000. We compete with schools who are a lot bigger, so, I mean, that's good for them. And I was curious about the Angels team this year because Mike Trout, I mean, you never hear anything about that team. They don't make it to the playoffs or anything. Well, Justin Upton's in left field. He's one of the best left fielders. You got Mike Trout in center, sure. Cole Calhoun has taken steps back. Justin Bour is now playing first base. Albert Pujols is the DH. But let's see if he has anything left in the bat. Second base, David Fletcher, don't know who that is. Zach Cozart's hurt. Andrelton Simmons, a shortstop, one of the best in the game, so that's good. They don't have a third baseman. And then the rotation, Tyler Skaggs, Andrew Haney, Matt Harvey. He got an overpay this year. Trevor Cahill, Nick Trupiano. I mean, that's not the best rotation. You're counting on Matt Harvey to be number three, which he could be a number five, but it's going to be really tough for him. And then the bullpen, Cody Allen is a closer, and then a bunch of guys who aren't great. So, yeah, this team is not a playoff team. I'm going to tell you that right now. The league, especially the American League, is a lot more stacked. Poor Mike Trout. That's all I can say. That is all I can say. I mean, let's look at the Athletics, who made the playoffs last year, and they always find a way, but they are not looking great either. This team, I mean, yeah, Matt Chapman, sure, Matt Olson. They got the M&M boys, Chris Davis, Marcus Semien, Drickson Profar, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't look too hot to me. The Astros are looking a lot better. Verlander Cole, two-headed monster. They're going to be good. Colin McHugh, Wade Miley, Brad Peacock. I mean, yeah. That's good. Gurriel, Altuve, Correa, Bregman. That's an infield. Tyler White is their DH. And left field, Michael Brantley. Center field, George Springer. Right field, Josh Reddick. That is a team. That is a team. Anyone that knows me knows Alex Rodriguez has been my favorite player my entire life since the day I started watching baseball to when he retired. I was at that game in the rain. The lightning was striking the field. They had to rush through the pregame ceremony for him. It was quite the fitting end to his career in a sense because it was just chaos. That's what it was. And I always thought the debate between him and Jeter was stupid because he was such a better player. Looking back, there's no way I'd rather have A-Rod on my team than Derek Jeter. And I think that's just because when I was a kid, A-Rod was the man. He put up 50 homers in 2007. I was 10 years old at that time, one of the most vividly remembered seasons of baseball of my life. I think it's the first one that I watched every single game I could have. And, well, there hasn't been one quite like that for the Yankees other than Aaron Judge coming. And home runs are fun. I love home runs. But he just never produced in the postseason except for 2009. Never produced. And so you look back on his career. He's an all-time Yankee great. I guess you can say that. But he's not top on the list. He's not top 10 on the list of Yankee greats, I don't think. I think he didn't win enough. And when you look at a team, especially the Yankees, it's all about winning. Like, Jorge Posada is a better Yankee than Alex Rodriguez. Not statistically. I mean, length-wise, yes, but A-Rod produced insane more amount. He was the number 3 and 4 hitters for 10 years. I mean, but no. When you look at everything else, Jorge Posada was a Yankee. And A-Rod was more just a great player who's on the payroll, who did come to the ballpark, produce, but my goodness. He just every big moment, he disappeared. Except for that series against the Twins in 2009 where he hit the monster shot. And I don't think one season out of how many he was in the playoffs for is an excuse. You can't just use 2009. It's one championship. When it's the Yankees franchise, there are different levels of standards. One championship in that many years, if A-Rod just was a little bit clutch, a little clutch, they would be at 28, 29 right now. And so for that reason, I call him a failure. He's a Yankee failure. And the fact that he's everywhere in baseball right now, he's got his broadcasting jobs on ESPN. He's on Fox. He's on Shark Tank. He's got A-Rod Corp. He's got his own YouTube channel. He's got his own podcast. He's dating J-Lo. He's everywhere with her. He's on late shows. He is everywhere. It sickens me. It literally sickens me. Because why is he there? J-Lo? Is that why? Are you telling me just because you date J-Lo, you're on everything? No. It's because he's being a fake. He is never like this. It's just now because he's not playing. He needs something to do. A-Rod should not be on World Series games, coveraging post-game or pre-game. He should not do that. Because look who you're talking about. You're talking about a guy who did steroids for a lot of his career. It didn't define him, but it was a lot of him, okay? A lot of steroids. He's not a winner, okay? He's a great player. Great. All-time great. But when you think of, like, the World Series, he's not a winner, and he cheated. Why is he on those games? It doesn't make sense to me. He was fun to watch, though. Really fun to watch in the 162 games. In the playoffs, remember that year, he was batting seventh by Joe Torre, and then at the end of his career, Joe Girardi didn't use him a lot. I mean, boy, that was a bad contract. And he was this close to 700 home runs, 697. A-Rod, when you look at a fallen hero, fall from grace, it should be A-Rod. But it's not because he came back to grace. Because post-career, he is maybe the most popular, like in media at least, most popular baseball figure. Who else is in media more than A-Rod? No one. He's the face of, like, retired baseball. And baseball, honestly. He's on more late shows than Bryce Harper, than Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout. A-Rod is everywhere. The guy who sued Major League Baseball. And how'd it happen? Because he's charismatic. Because he manipulates. Because he is everything people like. Good looking. Talented. Rich as heck. I mean, it boggles my mind. It really boggles my mind. But then you got Derek Jeter, the true Yankee great, 5-time champ, whole career in pinstripes, who's getting blasted by the media for his handling in Miami, how he answers questions with no vigor. He is not honest in his answers. He fires people. Just all these bad things. You don't hear anything good about Derek Jeter anymore. And how did that happen? Derek Jeter got inversed with A-Rod. Like, that should be A-Rod. Derek Jeter right now, who's dismantling the Miami Marlins, that should be Alex Rodriguez. The guy on all the late shows who should be doing the coverage and be the face of baseball, that should be Derek Jeter. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And they're always going to be connected because they were best friends when they were younger. Then A-Rod went to free agency, said all these bad things about Jeter, that A-Rod's better. Jeter's just there because he's in New York. He gets all the attention, blah, blah, blah. Just stuff you shouldn't say about your friend. And guess what, Jeter? He appreciates loyalty more than anything, so he did not put up with that. And that's what brings us to now when they don't talk, and that Yankee run where they did not talk. It's something. It's something. And I think Major League Baseball can't do anything about it. I mean, it's the networks that are hiring A-Rod. But if people don't listen to him, I mean, they're going to get rid of him. ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball stinks. A-Rod's not good during games. He's not a color commentator. He is an analytical guy before and after games. He's great at breaking things down post. But during, he comes off as fake, comes off as goofy, and pretty dry. Hate to say that. Always loved A-Rod. Got plaques in my room of A-Rod. Went to see him rehabbing in AAA. But this is my bad-mouthing of what A-Rod has become. Because if he stayed the villain, I would have appreciated him. I would have respected it if he just embraced the villainy, became like a Jose Canseco type. I mean, that's fun. Baseball, not baseball, but just life in general, can use characters like that. That promotes things. But nope. Of course not. He has to become the man. And I'm just waiting for that movie deal of his story, which will be highly inaccurate, but nonetheless, I will go see, because there has to be an A-Rod movie that comes out with that whole trial thing going on in 2009. Aaron Sorkin needs to get on that. So I know there are still a bunch of free agents still left on the market this year. Adam Jones, and I said Kimbrel and Keuchel. But I saw a list on MLB Trade Rumors of the top free agents for next season previewing, and I thought I'd just run down that list right now. So Chris Sale, okay? He's going to be a free agent. That is a name. Do I trust that body, that windup? No. It reeks. It reeks of just injury and loss of control when his body gets older. He's tall and lanky. Reminds you a lot of Tim Lincecum, and we all know how that ended. And then Gerrit Cole is another ace on the market. And then Justin Verlander. Those three pitchers, better than any pitcher on the market this season. Maybe that's why teams just aren't going after Keuchel for long-term deals. I totally get that, because Gerrit Cole's great. Verlander's old but doing great. And then Chris Sale. Then you got Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop for the Boston Red Sox, who has been good. He's probably worth, honestly, $20 million a year, at least $15 million. So you can look at him getting $100+ million to $200 million contract. He's young. We'll see how that is. Anthony Rendon, third baseman of the Nationals, another free agent next season. Paul Goldschmidt, who will be 32. That's his issue, but I mean, one of the best first basemen in the league with Freddie Freeman. You can say him or Freddie. Zach Wheeler, who was good last year. If you put another one together, he's going to get paid. JD Martinez is an opt-out. He's going to be 32. We'll see what he does. Didi Gregorius is coming back from an injury, but a great shortstop when healthy. And then Madison Bumgarner. And this year is huge for him. And then other free agents, Marcell Ozuna of the Cardinals, Yasiel Puig of the Reds, Rick Porcello of the Red Sox, Nick Castellanos of the Tigers, Josh Donaldson of the Braves, Yasmani Grandal of the Brewers, Chris Davis of the A's, Scooter Jeanette of the Reds. Those guys are good players. Next season is going to be a good, good free agency. But that's a lot of middle-tier players. They're a lot better than the average player. But are they stars? No. They're going to be sitting on the market. Rick Porcello is going to be sitting on the market. Yasmani Grandal, again, probably. Chris Davis, who's paying for $40 million, 40 homer power? Going to give him how much? I don't know. And then players have club options. Corey Kluber, Anthony Rizzo, Jose Quintana, Chris Archer, Starling Marte, Matt Carpenter. Those are going to be exercised. And then Steven Strasburg and Yu Darvish are not going to opt out of their contracts. Definitely not Yu Darvish. One of the worst contracts in the bigs. So, that is that. And I think it is going to be an interesting rest of free agency this year, because you have good players on the market and the team, the season's about to start. Is Adam Jones going to take a minor league contract? Possible. Or will he just go back to Baltimore? That's also an option, because the Orioles could use a corner outfielder. Sign him to the veterans minimum, but do they want to get a young guy in the field? Or do they want to maybe stunt the time these guys have in the bigs by signing Adam Jones? That is the other way to look at it. So the Orioles are just going to be absolute garbage for this year and next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that, especially in that division where the Red Sox and Yankees, well, they're built to be good for 3 or 4 years. So we shall see. We shall see. And then lastly, I just want to touch on how much I think Mike Trout will get when he's a free agent. He's going to be 31. He's getting 10 years. $400 million. No opt-outs. Full no trade. If Mike Trout keeps up his production, doesn't dip at all, doesn't have to get better, keeps it up, he's getting $400 million. That's it. Because you know who's going to? The Yankees. The Yankees are going to give him $400 million. And you know what the Phillies are going to do? They're going to have a chance to match it. And guess what? You match. When you have the chance at the best player in the bigs, by far, you match that money. There's no way. Okay. Oh, just saw an article. Major League Baseball and the Players Association are nearing a rule change agreement. It's not going to address broader concerns. It's not just clear what we'll cover in the PAT, but areas under consideration are single trade deadline, roster size modifications, so 26-man roster, are the possible tweaks that can happen. So it's looking like that. The pitch clock and spring training seems to be going well, but we'll see if teams actually want that to happen. And then the Twins, Miguel Sano, third base, he's going to miss the beginning of the season. Zach Cozart, Angels, going to miss the beginning of the season. Travis Jankowski has a broken wrist for the Padres. And so people are already getting hurt. That just happens. Severino's hurt. Hicks went for an MRI for the Yankees, which I could have seen that coming from a mile away. I mean, when you get the guy 7 years, $70 million, that's a good contract, but I mean, he has an iffy back. That's what they're saying. I mean, he has an iffy back, and it's always his back, and that's huge. So I don't know if that contract's going to hold up too well, but it is what it is. And so that is this episode of Sports Talk with Matt Peters. Thank you for tuning in on this lovely, lovely Wednesday. It's cold. Next week looks a lot warmer. We'll have one more episode for you then before spring break. And I'm highly, highly looking forward to that. So thank you for tuning in again. I'll see you next week on Sports Talk. And remember, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This has been Sports Talk with Matt Peters. Have a lovely, lovely day.
You think you're ready, but you've got too much on your mind, too much left to prove. No easy answer.